To do that. Happy New Year, everybody. Those that follow the NFL calendar. As of right now,
it's
all
us again.
Those free agent contracts, those agreements can become official. And yeah, we're still here. We did do a little musical chairs, though. As you can see, we have new seats. And there's some beautiful New Year's music playing. And you see Lewis Riddick there, Dan Orlovsky, Adam Schefter. I'm Laura Rutledge. Ryan Clark is joining us as well. With the confetti falling on you, RC. Can you see that? I don't even know.
I can see it. I've had some confetti fall on me before. Yeah. It was a Super Bowl, though.
As you have.
Never
Ooh,
in free
that
agency.
Was a flex. All right, so we've got a lot to get to. We're going to get right to Adam as the Chargers did some work to get cap compliant in front of the 4 p.m. deadline. What do we know there, Adam?
Laura, they have officially released Mike Williams, freeing up $20 million against their salary cap. And right now, as the new league year officially is underway, the Chargers are cap compliant. They don't have a lot of room, but they are in compliance. And it is a situation here where now they will have to do further work. And Khalil Mack is expected to restructure his contract to create a little bit more space in Los Angeles. There was a question about whether or not he'd be back, considering he had a $38.5 million salary cap hit, which is the highest in the NFL among non-quarterbacks. But Mack will be back. The question is whether Joey Bosa will be. And earlier today, the Baltimore Ravens traded Morgan Moses to the New York Jets in a pick swap. The Ravens get two picks. The Jets get Moses and one pick. And Moses steps in and will become the Jets' starting right tackle, protecting Aaron Rodgers, assuming he comes back and doesn't run for vice president of this country.
Uh-oh.
As for Deontay Johnson, the Carolina Panthers wide receiver, traded there last night from the Pittsburgh Steelers, along with a seventh-round pick. The Steelers get back cornerback Dante Jackson, a sixth-round pick. Deontay Johnson, who's been rumored in place to be traded for a little bit of time here, finally gets dealt to Carolina as they get more help for their young quarterback, Bryce Young. And C.J. Gardner-Johnson gets done a three-year deal with the Eagles, worth up to $33 million, goes back to Philadelphia, where he had great success, and now the Eagles are happy to have their playmaker back there. Good situation for him. A loss for Detroit. C.J. Gardner goes back to becoming a Philadelphia Eagle. And the big defensive move yesterday was Danielle Hunter leaving Minnesota, just like Kirk Cousins did, agreeing to a two-year, $49 million deal with the Texans. The key number there is the $48 million guarantee. Only Kirk Cousins gets guarantees like that in a contract. That contract is almost fully guaranteed, and Danielle Hunter steps in and now becomes a primary part of Houston's defensive line rotation. And I will say this, like, when you watch Danielle Hunter play, I'm saying to myself, that guy is scary out there.
Yeah.
He looks like he is an offense wrecker, and now he will team up with Will Anderson to give the Texans a formidable duo to go along with C.J. Stroud, and a franchise that a few years ago was a laughingstock has become a real threat in the National
More
Football
on
League.
The Texans coming.
I famously almost ran, one time ran away from a guy that looked like that in a Minnesota Vikings uniform.
Did that? Is that how you ended up in the?
Too far.
Okay. Yeah.
Now
too
happens.
Far. That's what happens, Dan. We'll see if
Dan's claim to fame.
He's done so much more since then. Let's get back to the Chargers. Not much wiggle room in their salary cap. If this is what their roster looks like, Dan, they're going to add some in the draft as well. But is Harbaugh set up well for year one? You think
they'll play good football because the offensive line is it's a solid unit. Justin Herbert, obviously spectacular. I think Keenan Allen's health is a big part of that. But I don't think this football team looks the way that Coach Harbaugh wants it to. Coach Harbaugh got Michigan back, and, you know, when he had his success in San Francisco, it was lines of scrimmage, and they were maulers on the offensive line and just got after you on the defensive line. So we knew these moves were coming, but I would expect this is just the beginning of them kind of to reshape what this roster is going to look like and the addition of tight ends. Again, offensively, defensive line, but I think this organization is going to go hunt tight ends that are big, physical, dominating presences. So I think they'll be fine. It just won't look the way I expect it to in the years to come.
Yeah, a little bit of time there. They do have the number 5 pick. What do you think they need to do there, Lewis, with who might be available?
Yeah, it's all offensive line for me. And I think they're going to look to address the right tackle position. Like Mel Kiper had J.C. Latham from Alabama mock there, who's 6'6", 325, and he is an absolute – look, he's a monster, folks. And that's exactly what Coach Harbaugh is going to want. You protect the quarterback, establish the line of scrimmage, make sure you can run the football, execute the play-action passing game, and that all starts up front. That's how he built Michigan, how he built San Francisco, And this draft is just loaded with offensive tackles who will be day one plug and play starters. J.C. Latham, look, you draft him and you just go boop,
yeah,
put him right there.
Good, right?
Just go, hey, let's go, buddy. And so I expect him to take that position. There's some fantastic players. Joe Walt, Fuaga from Oregon State. I mean, these guys are just killers, man.
When he was in San Francisco and they were really good, it was Joe Staley and Anthony Davis, the bookend tackles.
It's not too bad, huh?
Yeah, you know, so it's like that's who he wants to be.
Yeah. Latham, by the way, not only is he such a physical monster, but he puts in the work. He's a great game preparer as well. RC, back to the Chargers as well. Mike Williams, officially a free agent. Is this a real piece for a team in need, or are there too many health questions?
He's not a piece for a team in need. He's a piece for a team that has the luxury of adding a very talented player who you never know is going to be available. When Mike Williams is on the field, he's one of the best 50-50 ball catchers in this game. He could stretch a defense. He could take the top off of a defense. And he's a physical runner after the catch. But you have to have him on the field. And Mike Williams has just not been healthy enough. When you thought about pairing him with Keenan Allen, thinking that you'd have that duo week in and week out, you expected them to be two of the best in the entire league together, especially with Justin Herbert at the quarterback position, but they just haven't gotten enough out of him on the field, and so you don't know what sort of success or production he could have moving forward for another team with that list and resume of injuries.
Just 6 minutes past the new league year, I'm told we have some breaking news out of Vegas. Adam, what's going on there?
Well, the Las Vegas Raiders are expected to release today Jimmy Garoppolo, their quarterback. No surprise there. Essentially, they're moving on from Jimmy Garoppolo, who now will become a free agent, and we'll see where he decides to find a home. But there would be a market, I would think, for a player like Jimmy Garoppolo. And he went 3-3 in the season. He's being suspended to open the season, but he will not be in Las Vegas. Team also moving on from Hunter Renfro, who announced his goodbye to Las Vegas today. No surprise there. Clears out $8.2 million in salary cap space. And again, this is some of the bookkeeping that just occurs at this particular time. It doesn't surprise anybody. People knew that they were moving on from these particular players, but the team will make it official later today now that the new league year has begun.
Yeah, so a reminder that they did add Gardner Minshew. They added Christian Wilkins. Dan, what about the quarterback plans for them going forward? Is Minshew going to be enough for them, especially in that division, thinking about who they've got to go up against?
Yeah, I still think that they have the capability to go up in the draft. If they find the guy that they love, now what Gardner Minshew does, it gives you the comfort, okay, we don't have to overextend ourselves. We talked about that a little bit yesterday. It's kind of similar to New England that if the guy, we don't have to panic. And I think Gardner Minshew is a good enough player that gives them the chance to win games. But in that conference and in that division, to your point, Laura, if you are the Raiders and you go, you know what, we think Drake May is going to be an absolute superstar, you go and you get him because your defense is going to be a good unit. Jaden Daniels, is it going to be J.J. McCarthy? Excuse me. They're going to have to be aggressive if they find the guy that they love.
Yeah, Antonio Pierce has already said, look, we know from an identity standpoint who we want to be.
Yeah.
We want to be a run, play action, bombs away type of team. So we need that big, big arm in the back end to be able to go ahead and pull the trigger. So I think for them, yeah, it does give them a sense of not having the panic that you have Gardner Minshew. But there's no question that right now Tom Telesco and them are thinking, like, what would it cost for us to get up there and find our guy?
Yeah.
And look, they also have other work to do. They want to continue to fortify the offensive line. They need a running back as well. Maybe even add another piece on the defensive line in the secondary. So if they don't go quarterback, look, there's going to be some great players there when they pick that they can take best player available.
Yeah, the Raiders definitely have to look toward this draft to improve their team and improve their team early because you're going to need some production from this rookie class. Also, when we watch this team play toward the end of the year, they go 5-4 with Antonio Pierce at the helm with Aiden O'Connell at the quarterback position. So we've seen this team win with a distinct style of play, but that style of play started with Josh Jacobs, who's now the running back in Green Bay. So what are they going to do in the backfield? How are they going to add more pieces to the outside to help whatever young quarterback is starting here? And you see they moved with Christian Wilkins inside to add to Max Crosby and that rush. We know what sort of defensive team they want to be. I'd like to see them get more physical at the linebacker position where they played with Spillane and Diablo last year. There's still so many things to do, but AP knows if he doesn't get a guy to play the quarterback position that could compete with the likes of Justin Herbert and obviously the best in the world, Patrick Mahomes, you will not be representing the AFC West in the playoffs.
It's an interesting study because, and Lewis could speak to it better than any of us can, but The Raiders are in the situation where, because of who is in their division, they either go, we are going to do everything we can to get a guy that we think can go toe-to-toe, or they go the complete opposite and say, we're just going to build the best possible football team that we can, and we'll just plug a good quarterback in there.
Yeah, you need that, I think, you need that foundational signal caller. You got to have
it. You don't have a shot, right?
You got to have it. And look, an AP is starting from scratch, him and Tom Telesco. So if I'm going to Mark Davis, I'm going, hey, look, we're trying to get our guy.
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to do.
The Chiefs keep getting better. Yeah. We'll see the Chargers get better with Harbaugh there. They've got to decide to go all in, yeah. I think, if they're going to compete in that division. We're just getting started on NFL Live as the new league year has passed. Deals are official. The Jets made a trade to address their offensive line issues, but is it enough? Find out what Dan believes New York needs to do next. Plus, the Texans made a big move, signing Danielle Hunter to help bolster their pass rush. Stay tuned to hear what Lewis expects from that unit that includes Will Anderson Jr. They are stacked in Houston. NFL Live is presented by Toro. Count on it. We'll be right back with more on free agency after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The inaugural United Football League season kicks off March 30th, featuring 21 matchups on ESPN, ESPN2, and ABC, with every one on ESPN+. Our games begin Sunday, March 31st, with a doubleheader on ESPN. Spring football is back. We also got free agency going on, as it's now official. The Texans entered this week with the fifth most salary cap space in the NFL, and they have been busy. They made the most of it. On defense, Houston added Danielle Hunter and Denico Autry. Those two players had a combined 28 sacks last season. And to replace running back Devin Singletary, the Texans acquired Joe Mixon from the Bengals. Nice pickups there. I'll start on the D-line, though, Lewis. Yeah. How imposing is that D-line now in Houston?
Well, go figure this. Last year, they were already third in pass rush win rate in the NFL. So now what they did was they said, Will Anderson, we're going to get you some help, buddy. Oof. We'll bring in a guy who over the past 2 years in Danielle Hunter has 27 sacks. A guy who at 5 out of his 8 years in the NFL, he's had double-digit sacks. So we'll get you him. And then we'll get you Danico Autry, who's a guy who goes, look, I can rush as a 3 technique over the guard. I can move outside and rush as a 9. I can stand up in a 2-point and rush over the center. So you've got all that going on. Now you also go out and you get Azeez Al-Shaair, who's one of the smartest linebackers in the NFL. We talked to him. You see how impressive he was.
Oh, yeah.
He was coached by D'Amico out in San Fran. So now you're not only getting better on the field in terms of athletic ability, you're getting smarter. And D'Amico Ryan's made his name in the NFL for being so cerebral on top of being good. So now you got a fast, physical, smart defense that was already pretty darn good last year. Look, Houston's got it going on, man.
Yeah, I think the Houston Texans are trying to be the 2021 Cincinnati Bengals. You know, Joe Burrow's second year. We hit on the rookie quarterback. He's a stud. And, you know, what's unique about Houston's situation right now, after all the names that Lewis just went through, is they don't have to have their focus on, well, how do we help the young quarterback take the next step in year two? They're going, no, no, no. How do we help this team go win a Super Bowl? Because the young quarterback is so good, and that's why these additions so matter so much. They keep Dalton Schultz. They keep a Noah Brown. And I just remember the Trey Hendrickson signing that offseason for Cincinnati and being like, that's a really big signing. And he plays, and all of a sudden you're going, well, the quarterback's a stud, and they got people on the outside. And Now that defense is a complementary piece, and it just feels like Houston. There's a little bit of a San Fran blueprint there, but it feels like Houston is sitting there going, we can go build a team that could win a Super Bowl rather than focusing on how do we make sure that the quarterback is set up to play good football.
And just the whole aura surrounding this organization has been a total shift.
Yeah, you have to give credit to the McNair family, Nick Caserio. They've done a great job.
A few years ago, nobody wanted to go there. Yeah. People were laughing at them, and now it's some place that I think free agents want to go play at because of C.J. Stroud, because everything they're going through. Like Danielle Hunter, if he had been a free agent in other years, I don't know that he would have considered Houston.
Yeah. Mm.
And now he goes to Houston. I mean, that's how it works.
They go there thinking we're going to be legit contenders, which I think is very real for all of us. R.C., we've touched on it a little bit, but offensively, Joe Mixon should help improve a run game that ranked in the bottom half of the league. That was an area that we identified needed to be better. What do you expect the offense to look like in year two of the C.J. Stroud era?
You know what? I'm excited about this. When they had games where Devin Singletary played extremely well for the Houston Texans, that was when I felt like C.J. Stroud really had the ability to shine because the play-action game opened up so much. Now you have a guy like Joe Mixon, even though so many people wanted Saquon Barkley to go there, you have a physical downhill running back who's also great in pass pro when he's allowed to stay in on third down. And I think now if you're Bobby Slowick, you find ways to mix in Joe Mixon because you want a physical personality to be added to your offense along with having an all-pro caliber quarterback in the young C.J. Stroud. You have to be extremely excited if you're D'Amico Ryans about where this team is headed, not only from the way that they play the game on the field, but the mentality that they seem to be trying to build by the sort of player that they're bringing into this locker room.
Yeah, you know, just to go back to what you were saying about the attractiveness of this organization, look, you've seen how C.J. Stroud has become someone who just in society overall, especially in the sports world, just how magnetic he is.
Yeah.
Like you saw him at the NBA All-Star game, and you just see, like, you see him on different podcasts. I believe it was on Micah Parsons' podcast.
Yeah.
How funny he is, like how he loves to really chop it up with the guys. Like, you wonder why teams stress about finding that guy, that franchise quarterback, who's not just good on the field, but who's just good overall within the overall team environment. They hit such a home run with him.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It feels
how
like
good
Joe Burrow
he is.
Cincinnati.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like play on
that's
such a home run.
Analogy.
It does.
And everything is just trickling down from there.
It's
beautiful to watch.
Great point. He's an excellent leader, too. You never felt like he was a rookie. And listen, don't overthink it, people. If the quarterback is like that, he stayed true to who he is.
Yeah.
And it always works out. All right, coming up next on NFL Life. The Eagles made a big splash when they signed Saquon Barkley away from their rival Giants. Dan is going to tell you how their new running back fits in that offense. Don't miss this. You're watching NFL Live, presented by Toro. More after the break.
Get it. Watch me.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Shefty.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special message.
Moments ago, we have breaking news. Saquon Barkley staying in the NFC East with the Philadelphia Eagles. Former Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins. He has agreed now to a deal with the Falcons, the Green Bay Packers, Josh Jacobs. And it's not all. Latest move that just came in, Xavier McKinney to the Green Bay Packers. And here's another one. Tony Pollard going from Dallas to Tennessee. Running backs flying off the shelf. Robert Hunt, huge deal in Carolina. With little things, there's big things. Today, they've been flying off the board with a lot of activity.
Oh, was a busy week for Shefty, absolutely crushing the free agent news many times while doing live TV as well. You're the best in the business, Adam. You continue to do this every single time. Congratulations on another great free agency week. I know you don't want that.
We all had fun. We've had a great time doing this together.
I just want to give you your props.
What I think it's fascinating. You're the best, and you're the as
He's
good
so
a person as well. It should be said.
Not everybody says that.
He also is very athletic.
I'm not saying that. No,
he just had to run to the bathroom, and he came back in like 90 seconds maybe. So who knew he had the speed, too.
Or anything on the way out.
Oh, my God. All right. Anyway, what do we need to know? What's the latest starting in Vegas?
Jimmy Garoppolo is officially being released by the Las Vegas Raiders. No surprise. He's obviously facing a suspension, the violation during the offseason, and now he will be a free agent to talk with other teams, as is Hunter Renfrow, who the team also is moving on from, saving about $8 million in salary cap space. And Laura, these are the moves that have been expected all along. There's no surprise in any of them. It's just these teams processing them today and making it official. The Los Angeles Chargers got under the salary cap by releasing Mike Williams, clearing $20 million in salary cap space. He's now a free agent, free to look elsewhere, and there's going to be interest in him. I could think of a team like Chicago that needs wide receiver help. He would make some sense there. We'll see who makes a run at Mike Williams. Danielle Hunter, we talked about before, a huge contract. 2 years, $49 million, but the key number is the $48 million in guaranteed money. The Texans now will be able to line up Danielle Hunter with Will Anderson. That's going to be a formidable combination from them moving forward. And again, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, the safety who was with Philadelphia before, is going back to Philadelphia on a 3-year deal. And that is a situation where he now will help that defense moving forward. Big pickup for the Philadelphia Eagles as they continue to upgrade their roster. C.J. Gardner-Johnson was a fan favorite there. And I'm sure the Eagles and Vic Fangio, their new defensive coordinator, are happy to have him back.
Good reminder, Vic Fangio there now. The Eagles were one of the most active teams during the negotiating period. In addition to bringing back C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Philly also agreed to a 3-year deal with Saquon Barkley and added pass rusher Bryce Huff. However, the Eagles did lose a pair of cornerstone players following the retirements of Jason Kelce and Fletcher Cox. Let's start with the return of Gardner-Johnson. You like that move for Philly, R.C.?
Fired up about this. I'm a big C.J. Gardner-Johnson fan. One, because he gets people to punch him in his face during football games with their hands on his face mask. How much trash funny, do you have to talk to upset somebody that much? But when you think about what he was for this team 2 years ago, 6 interceptions, huge hits in the run game, great in the open field. They needed that last year. They tried to give it with Kevin Byard. They couldn't get it. Howie Roseman has now made right what once went wrong. They need to be stronger down the middle of this defense. I felt like they were attacked in between the numbers the entire year, and C.J. Gardner-Johnson is a start to that. These young D tackles need to play better, and they need consistent healthiness from their linebacker core, but also better play, because it doesn't matter who you have on offense. You can have the freaking monsters. If you can't stop anybody the way this team played defense last year under Sean Desai and Matt Patricia, it doesn't matter if you have Vic Fangio or who's calling the offense. They're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, I love the move, too. He's an attitude guy. He's a tone setter guy. And you're right. I mean, look, Ryan was one of those dudes when he played in Washington, when he played in Pittsburgh. The guys who really kind of strike some fear, although they've legislated a lot of the fear out of the game between the numbers. Look, CJ will still bring that. You know, another guy who you got to keep an eye on, Zach Bond, who they signed, you know, as an unrestricted free agent to play one of the stack linebacker positions. Again, that core of the defense type of guy. Zach's an inside-outside guy in the 34 scheme. He can play off the ball. He can get up on the line of scrimmage. And Russ, he did it at Wisconsin, and he was pretty darn good. And don't forget Bryce Huff, too. Bryce Huff is he's a perfect 3-4 OLB. Mm. That's what he is. You can see why maybe, you know, you start to wonder, does Josh Sweat fit this defense from a 3-4 structure? Obviously, when they go 4 down, he can just play defensive end. But look, they're trying to do work on that side of the ball, too. Offensively, they're going to be fine. Although, like I said before, Kellen Moore, look, man, you have a lot to work with on the offensive side. But on defense, Vic Fangio is where he wanted to be. Yep. And they're getting him some pieces to work with.
Anything we need to know, Adam?
Not right now.
Okay, false alarm. We'll see if there's anything.
I might just go over and call
you. Know,
smile. I just had to ask because we saw you get up.
Yeah, I know. Well,
Dan.
We'll see.
Okay, fingers crossed. Offensively, the headline was adding Saquon, obviously, but how do you expect his run style to mesh specifically with what the Eagles want to do and, of course, Jalen Hurts as a quarterback?
It will be tremendous if he takes the easy stuff. Mm-hmm. We talk about that phrase when it comes to quarterbacking so much in the NFL. Is like, hey, don't try to be the hero ball, or don't try to do it all yourself, take the easy throw. And I think Saquon will have to adjust just a little bit to that when it comes to some of his runs. Part of that is because when he was in New York, there was never anywhere for him to run.
Right.
So he's trying to hit home runs consistently, and sometimes that would mess with his vision just a little bit. And you're not always going to have that home run hit, and I think he forced it a little bit. And I think if Saquon could just dial it back, knowing that this offense and this offensive line will provide him for that, you know, get after those 3 and 4 yard runs with, instead of trying to force stuff, this will be a huge signing for the Eagles.
I want you guys to think back to Brian Daboll's first year with the New York Giants and how the threat of the quarterback run sort of gave Saquon Barkley some opportunities in open space. We know that he is looking for that home run, but with the understanding of watching Miles Sanders excel in this offense 2 years ago, DeAndre Swift, some of those guys who have a similar run style to Saquon Barkley, he'll start to understand that if he hits things downhill, if he gives you one cut, you'll get 4, you'll get 6, you'll get 8. And eventually you could pop the long run with the threat of the RPO. And so I love what Saquon Barkley adds to this offense, but it's truly going to be on Kellen Moore. Can he put himself in a space to allow Jalen Hurts to have the opportunities to make the right decisions for this offense to get the ball in the hands of his playmakers?
He's going to be like a guy going from eating a Lunchable to like a full buffet because the offensive line is going to be so much better. I like Lunchables.
Have you tried a Lunchable as an adult?
I actually do love Lunchables.
They
I just ate one in the
they
airport.
They are not the same.
I don't know. I think
was young,
pretty good.
When I was young and I ate Lunchables, I was like, man, this is what the rich people eat. Now that I have a little money, it is not what the rich people eat, y'all.
Oh,
it is not the same.
Depends on the Lunchable. Barkley goes to a Giants offensive line that ranked 31st in run block win rate. Thank you, Lewis, last season. An Eagles offensive line
shout out,
that led the NFL in that category. I didn't have Lunchables. What?
A little turkey, turkey and cheese?
Oh, come on,
cracker?
Adam. We got to fix that. The Panthers have added some help for Bryce Young on offensive line and wide receiver. Find out if Lewis thinks this rebuild is headed in the right direction. You're watching NFL Live, presented by Toro. Time to get Adam Schefter a snack. Anybody? I'll go get it.
Yo, Lunchables are great. Also, Wawa's
delicious. I never taste them.
Oh, look, Wawa.
We're back on NFL Live, and we saw a handful of star players make the move to their division rivals this week. Interesting. Adam Schefter, give us the headlines, starting with Saquon Barkley in the NFC East.
It goes to the NFC East, goes back to the state of Pennsylvania, where he played college football at Penn State, now runs behind a Jason Kelce-less, still outstanding offensive line in Philadelphia, where he is going to be expected to have the type of effect on that franchise that Christian McCaffrey had on the 49ers after the 49ers traded for McCaffrey. From Carolina, Saquon will go to the Eagles, and he is expected to have a major impact, certainly for the money that they're paying him. And how about Aaron Jones going from Green Bay to Minnesota? Now, Green Bay is the team that essentially told him that they're releasing him. So in this particular case, he's really not doing anything wrong. He's going to the best offer, which was in Minnesota, 1 year, $7 million deal. He becomes the latest Packer player amongst a long line of them to go from Green Bay to Minnesota, a path that Brett Favre once blazed. And of course, we have this particular situation where Patrick Queen goes from Baltimore to Pittsburgh. And now he will be trying to bring down Derrick Henry, the Queen on the King, with the Queen in Pittsburgh, the King in Baltimore. Patrick Queen, one of the top linebackers here in free agency, tells Marcus Spears, the investigative reporter, that he's going to Pittsburgh on a 3-year, $41 million deal. Big Swagoo learned this week, the more you can do, the better off you are. And Big Swagoo brought it this
week.
Wait,
I got to tell you something really fast. He texted us and he was like, guys, that was stressful.
He did. He was like, you're stressful.
He broke one story. I don't know how you handle all the breaking news that you do. All right, to more moves that happened. Jordan Poirier, another one of these players that moved as we talk about the Dolphins losing a pair of key players in the trenches this week. Defensive tackle Christian Wilkins and guard Robert Hunt. Wilkins wasn't the only loss along the D-line, as well as Andrew Van Ginkle and Raekwon Davis leaving Miami. The Dolphins did add, though, a pair of veterans to their defense and safety Jordan Poyer and pass rusher Shaquille Barrett. RC, you like what the Dolphins did on defense this week?
Well, I think the Dolphins are trying. We have to remember, too, Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips both on injured reserve at the end of the season last year. But I believe Jordan Poyer is one of the more underrated players in the entire NFL. What he and Micah Hyde were able to do as a safety duo and tandem in Buffalo was absolutely phenomenal. Now you pair him with Javon Holland, who I believe is a young star in this league. And now new defensive coordinator Anthony Weaver can have the back end of this defense run between these two young men with an intellectual approach to the game and Jalen Ramsey on the outside locking down wide receivers.
Continue to read and react. Some more news of the week. Baker Mayfield re-signed with the Bucs last weekend. He addressed the media for the first time since this deal this morning.
For me, I said it immediately after our Detroit game, following the loss. There's to build a winning team and to have a lot of the key pieces that we needed back to continue this run and improve it. Some sacrifices have to be made, knowing that we have a chance to bring back some key pieces and make a further run in the playoffs. That's important to me. I'm a winner at heart. I hate losing, so knowing that we get a lot of guys back and we can continue to build this for years to come, it's a special thing.
That's what you want in your offensive lineman, and Baker's kind of an offensive lineman in a quarterback's body.
That's well said. Lewis, with Baker back, the Bucs a playoff team in the NFC?
Yeah, they are. Speaking of offensive linemen, they got to make sure they shore up that area of the football field so they can control the football a little bit, especially from a run game perspective. And the way you do that is capturing the line of scrimmage. So they have to make sure that they're strong there. Baker, as long as you keep him healthy, as Dan alluded to earlier, they have plenty of perimeter weaponry. They need to just be able to make sure that they can be multiple when they need to be the most. So Liam Cohen, you're up. And then on the defensive side, Todd Bowles will keep it locked down. Just make sure that Antoine Winfield Jr. is taken care of.
A couple of notes on Baker. Number one, he was immensely popular in that locker room. The players really gravitated towards him. I'm not going to say he's more popular than an icon like Tom Brady, but in a different way, they loved Baker Mayfield. And if the Buccaneers hadn't re-signed him, I think he would have been in play in Atlanta, which Atlanta got Kirk Cousins done. It became a moot point, but I think he might have been the backup plan to Kirk Cousins.
Interesting. Big news on Aaron Rodgers. This has nothing to do with politics, by the way. The Jets trading for Ravens tackle Morgan Moses, helping to solidify a shaky offensive line. Look at this. Last season, the Jets O-line ranked 30th in the NFL in pass block win rate and 29th in run block win rate. They were the only team in the NFL to rank in the bottom four in both of those categories. In addition to acquiring Morgan Moses, the Jets added another former Ravens O-lineman earlier this week in guard John Simpson. Dan, are those two additions enough with the 40-year-old quarterback maybe coming off an Achilles tear this year?
They can be if they stay healthy. And not only those two additions, but also that addition of Moses at right tackle allows Elijah Vera Tucker, who's their young and promising and talented offensive lineman, to play right guard.
Right.
But they all have to play and stay healthy. If this unit is capable of doing that, they got four good starters there now. They have the 10th pick in the draft and likely will be selecting a left tackle. They got to stay healthy and they got to play together for this unit to have a chance to pay dividends on the acquisition of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, the amount of turnover along this unit or within this unit has been just remarkable in Joe Douglas's time. And look, I mean, he has thrown assets at it. He has thrown a lot of fastballs at the position. They just haven't been able to keep the same unit on the field. I mean, it was this morning that we were talking about it on Get Up. I think it was something like 48 different offensive line combinations since Joe became the general manager, 5 years ago? I mean, that's absurd. That's just, and it's not his fault, but that's just the way it has gone. And look, with Aaron Rodgers coming off this Achilles injury, look, you've got to be rock solid.
Right.
In particular, like right up the middle, you got to be rock solid. And they have some pieces there. Look, Vera Tucker's a good player. Joe Tippmann's a good player. They just have to take the next step. And one of the next steps involves be on the field.
Yeah.
Just be available.
Yep.
Yeah. And sitting down with former Jets and current Jets recently on the pivot, everybody said everything runs through Aaron. Everything about this offense is Aaron being able to get in and out of plays, in and out of protections. And so it's built around what he can do. That means you have to protect him. And listen, I don't know. Him running for the vice presidency might be smart because then at least he'll have Secret Service to block for him because what they had out there last year wasn't going to get it done. They need consistency from this offensive line, but they need high-level play because you know Aaron Rodgers can elevate the play of everyone on that offense if he gets time.
Yeah, I agree with all those thoughts when it comes to the offensive line. I think two things, too, are We have to see more out of Nathaniel Hackett as an offensive coordinator. I know there was a little bit of a handcuffing last year with everything that happened, injuries and all that. But there has to be more creativity. And I think the second thing is, I love Garrett Wilson. There needs to be another person opposite Garrett Wilson.
Hell yeah.
Alan Lazard did not play to that level last year. So I think those are two question marks that, coming off of last season, still linger.
Yeah, they do also have a hole at left tackle, as we've talked about. They could get one with the 10th overall pick. Hey, how about Breece Hall, by the way? Shortly after the trade for Moses, the running back said, finally, his day was made!
Yeah.
And crying laughing face. He's like, yes, give me some more protection. Coming up here on NFL Live, Carolina traded for Deontay Johnson to help out quarterback Bryce Young. RC will tell us what he thinks about the fit with the Panthers. That's all next. Could that rebuild be very positive? We'll talk about it. NFL Live is presented by Toro. Count on it.
Oh boy. I put in work every quarter.
The next UFC event comes your way Saturday afternoon exclusively on ESPN+. The prelims begin at 4 Eastern, followed by the main card, highlighted by the heavyweight main event. That should be a great one. All right, lots of names already off the board during a busy start to NFL free agency, but still lots of guys to sign. As of right now, RC, give us a move that you've liked so far.
You know what? I've liked a ton of moves, but for me, it was Kirk Cousins to the Atlanta Falcons. And when you are the Atlanta Falcons and you're Raheem Morris and you say, I wouldn't have a job if they had good quarterback play, you know that's something that you need to fix. And we linked Justin Fields to the Atlanta Falcons for the entire season. And then finally, the offseason hits. They target their guy. They know what sort of quarterback that they want, and they get him. And there he's now going to be paired with the team that understands run the football first, get into the play action with those big options on the outside.
I love all the moves that the Los Angeles Rams have made, and I think they're the team right now to beat in the NFC. I love the addition of Jonah Jackson. They keep Kevin Dotson, who's their guy. So you're talking about an interior offensive line that is going to be absolutely dominant. The addition of Cody Parkinson at tight end with Tyler Higbee and his injury, the way that Matthew Stafford threw the football, and then retaining Darius Williams, who used to be there with Jacksonville and now back. This football team offensively can do whatever it wants.
Yeah, for me, it's Xavier McKinney at the Packers. Look, when you get a 25-year-old playmaker like this, who is in the middle of the defense, again, at your core, who can cover, who can play the run, who is a guy who is a ball hawk and an interceptor at 25 years old. This football team right now, look, Brian Gutekunst is putting on a masterclass as far as having youth while at the same time being contenders. And on offense, they've already done work. Look out for the Packers this year for sure. They're not going to sneak up on anyone.
Lewis, did you see this? McKinney posted this question about his next jersey number earlier today, asking, what number should I get? Keep 29 like he wore with the Giants, or bring that 15 like he wore at Alabama? McKinney's mentions were immediately flooded with people reminding him that a guy named Bart Starr wore number 15 in Green Bay after he retired. Of course, it's now retired, of course. After realizing his mistake, McKinney posted, Bart
has
15.
Twitter is kind of like spicy. I mean, I'm just wondering why you didn't reference that other, MF at the end.
Yeah, that part.
But.
I love that out. You guys, I'm not going to fall into that trap on the X, okay? In case McKinney has any other ideas, the Packers retired numbers are 3, 4, 14, 15, 66, and 92. Let's go to Carolina now, where the Panthers have been busy adding some much-needed protection for Bryce Young on the offensive line by agreeing to deals with guards Robert Hunt and Damian Lewis. Carolina also addressed a significant need at wide receiver by acquiring Deontay Johnson from the Steelers. Lewis, we start with you. What do you make of the offensive rebuild in Carolina? Still a ways to go, but you like where it's headed?
I sure do. And I like the emphasis on the offensive guard position. What it reminds me of so much is back in the day, think about how the New Orleans Saints constructed their offensive line when Drew was in his heyday. They put all their money at the guard positions. Remember Carl Nix?
Yeah.
Remember Jari Evans?
Yeah.
They wanted to make sure that, look, that pocket wasn't getting pushed back on our quarterback who was just barely 6 feet tall. You think Dan Morgan isn't thinking the same thing down there in Carolina? We need to make sure we're solid up the middle. And Robert Hunt, look, we saw Robert Hunt leading up to our game Miami-Tennessee this year. We saw how Miami's offensive line looked when he wasn't in there.
Yeah.
This guy's mean now. They need that kind of attitude type of player. And I think right now, look, if you're the quarterback down in the Carolina Panthers, if you're the fan base down in the Carolina Panthers, you're going, thank God. Thank God we're trying to solidify that offensive line inside out. Very smart acquisitions.
I have said this for about 3 months now. This year doesn't matter when it comes to who or what Bryce Young is going to be. It's going to be about 2025. So to Lewis's point, I think the number one thing they could do, because so often with young quarterbacks, we're like, get them guys to throw to. And I think that's a mistake more often than not. Mm-hmm. It's just get those guys to be clean. I'll never forget that one of the best games I've ever seen a rookie play was in 2016. It was Dak Prescott. And we went down there on Monday Night Football, and he cut us up. And he had one of the best offensive lines in the last decade in the NFL. And I think if they could just make sure that they give this young man, Bryce Young, the chance to make some decisions and some reads and to throw the football. He's a good enough thrower where he could throw some guys open, but they never gave him that opportunity. So I love the fact that Dan Morgan, to Lewis's point, is going, no, we're gonna keep him clean, and we're going to protect him. And if I were them, I would actually attack the offensive line again in the NFL draft in late April.
Yeah, it can't hurt. Oh,
they have
what'd
to.
You say, Adam?
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
They will.
Yeah.
That's
you know, like, here's one of the teams that, like, even me, I go, well, maybe they should trade for T. Higgins. And I sit there going, no, Dan, it's not time. Rebuild the offensive line to keep him protected.
We at least start there.
We saw it firsthand, right? When we were down there in Carolina, New Orleans, right?
Yeah.
We saw, I mean, he was under assault.
Yeah.
Like, every single play. And you started to see that look in his face.
If you
like,
do
hey,
2 years of that,
yeah.
He's done.
Yeah.
If you do 2 years of that, he's done.
This year is crucial. While the results may not matter, but at least give him some time, give him the chance to make some plays, get him some confidence back. I get it. Everyone wants to talk about what C.J. Stroud has done, but let's remember it's only been a year for Bryce Young. All right, to Deontay Johnson's former team, let's go to the Steelers. They added Patrick Queen at linebacker. That's huge. Dante Jackson joined a talented Steelers defense. It was already one of the best in the NFL last season. As for the offense, Pittsburgh hoping that Russell Wilson can help turn around a Steelers offense that averaged fewer than 17 points per game last season, fifth worst in the NFL. We got to start with our resident Steeler here. How big was the move to grab Queen away from that Baltimore defense, RC?
Before I get to that, I do want to address one thing Dan said. Don't forget when the Cincinnati Bengals made a decision to go Ja'Marr Chase over Penei Sewell. Mm-hmm. Penei Sewell looks like he's going to be a Hall of Fame player at the position. But remember what that did do to elevate Joe's game as well. Sure. But when you think about what the Pittsburgh Steelers are doing, the Pittsburgh Steelers are trying to say we're going to win games like we won games back in the early or mid 2000s. We're going to find a quarterback who can go out and do the job, but we're going to build defensively. We're going to add the likes of Patrick Queen. We're going to pair Dante Jackson opposite young Joey Porter Jr., who seems like he's going to have an opportunity to be a star. And when you think about what this team has been built on, it's physicality. They already have who is the best player in football defensively to me in TJ Watt. Now, when you add Russell Wilson to Arthur Smith, who Lewis said already could be the most important pickup of the entire offseason for the Pittsburgh Steelers, understanding he's going to run the ball, be physical with those role graders, and allow Russell Wilson to make the plays he needs to make in the important parts of the game. And we saw him do that and control that in Denver last year, in my opinion.
You know what I love the most about today's NFL is that as many things that change, even more things stay the same. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean this. Mm-hmm. Off-ball linebackers, right? There was a time, I remember, when in my front office career, that off-ball linebackers were looked at as maybe, you know, maybe the 21st position in the greater overall roster. People are like, you can put anybody in there. You can put a highway cone in there. You'll
safety's
be just fine.
Safeties, too.
And you know what? It's funny how it's come back around. And you know who taught me that? You know who taught me that the middle of the field is an area that you must control?
Yeah.
Going back to the early 90s. Bill Belichick used to preach this all the time. And it's nice to see Roquan Smith get his.
Yeah.
And Patrick Queen. Look, they couldn't afford him anymore because they know how important he is. And Pittsburgh needed it. Mike Tomlin talked to us about it. He said, look, man, we got a bunch of dudes at this position, but we need a stud. And they got themselves one. It's just cool to see that. Offensive guards. It's good to see the middle of the football team being rewarded.
Yeah, it matters. Dan, you heard RC mentioning Russell Wilson. Of course, he's pairing with Arthur Smith as the offensive coordinator. What do you expect that offense to look like in Pittsburgh?
A little bit of the throwback football Lewis was referencing. I think in Pittsburgh, you're going to see Russell Wilson under center a ton. I think you're going to see them run the football with a commitment, and then I think you're going to see Russell Wilson throw the football downfield with a ton of play-action shots. Russell Wilson isn't what he was 5, 6, 7 years ago in Seattle, but when you put him underneath center and you run the football and marry it with play action, which is what Arthur Smith absolutely loves to do, he is still a plenty capable quarterback, and I think that's going to be the identity of the football team, and that's why I like the marriage so much, because that's who the player can be capable of. I think it's who their scheme wants to be, and I think it's who their talent lends itself to be.
You know, I know there are a lot of people right now who are looking at Arthur Smith going, why are we so hyped up about this guy? Look at how he underutilized the people he had in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Arthur was a very good offensive coordinator. He was with
Big
Tennessee.
Time.
And right. I think now that his mind is going to be freed up to just kind of focus on what he does best, I think you will see this offense take off in Pittsburgh.
And the fans in that city are happy to have anybody there as an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I also think it's failing the Panthers because
pretty much.
The quarterback threw the ball to the other team too much.
That's why. You can't turn it over.
That too.
All right, so the ball dropped in here. I don't know if you guys saw it. Happy New Year in the NFL. We'll see you soon.